2018. My, how time flies. So today's topic is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Now, a lot of you send in questions and topic recommendations, and I actually read these emails. I cannot respond to all of them, but I do read them. And today's topic is based on a question I got, which is, hey, do you cure Ehlers-Danlos syndrome? And I had been taught about Ehlers-Danlos syndrome back in medical school. And I decided, well, let me take a look at this and see if there have been any, any updates, any news, any new knowledge about that. And so I looked it up. And lo and behold, there is a lot of amazing information. Before I go too far, though, I would like to somehow get onto Facebook here and say hi to our Facebook friends. Doesn't seem like that's going to be working here, though. Let's try something else. Ah, yes, here it is. And we're going to click over there. And yes, we can do this. You know, if it's me or if it's Facebook, but it seems like it changes every time. All right, here we are. So, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, is it genetic or is it? So, what is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome? That's a good question. That's a very good question. It is such a good question that we should ask it. It's always good to know, what are we talking about? So Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, it sounds like really, sounds really bad. But this syndrome is a group. There's your red flag, a group. That means more than one, many. Of connective tissue disorders that can be inherited. And they share common features of hyperextensibility, so it's like double-jointed joints, excessive movement of joints, and fragile, it means delicate, easily broken tissue. And the main features are loose joints, bruisable skin, and the skin heals with peculiar kind of cigarette paper scars. Now, you can eventually die of it because connective tissue, of course, is everywhere in the body, right? Your heart valves are made of connective tissue, so these people can get problems with their heart valves. Your blood vessels are made of connective tissue, so people can get different aneurysms and problems with their blood vessels. They can get spine problems, their spine curves over, and they can get dental problems, right? There's a lot of connective tissue there in your mouth and in your gums. And, of course, you can get muscle problems and problems with your cornea, and so on and on and on. So it can really make life pretty darn miserable. Pretty darn miserable. So it is based on that a matter of interest. Now, the next thing to take a look at is how do you get Ehlers-Danlos syndrome? I mean, it sounds like pretty outrageous to me, right? So the question of how do you get it is it's a genetic disorder. So genetic disorder is, so then you have to ask, well, what's a genetic disorder? Because this is important. If you don't define each word you're using, you can pretty easily get not only confused, but as a friend of mine used to say, off in the tall grass. In other words, lost. So it's a genetic disorder, how do you know something is genetic? It's a condition that's caused by an abnormality in the individual's DNA. They can be as small as a single base mutation, like just one gene, or they can involve the addition or subtraction of an entire chromosome, like Down syndrome, for example. So the key concept here is it's caused by an abnormality in the individual's DNA. Okay. Just by the way, this is going to become relevant later on, you do not have control over the DNA you get from your parents. Just saying. Okay. So, it's caused by an abnormality in an individual's DNA. So what I'm going to do is take a little bit of logic here. You've got to go for logic. Okay. So the gene disorder, what they're saying here, is both necessary. So it's caused by that gene. So that gene must be, it's necessary to cause the syndrome. No gene, no syndrome, right? Okay. And it also has to be sufficient. What does sufficient mean? That means this gene defect all by itself has to be enough to cause the illness, in this case, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Okay. So if either of these is not true, then the disease is not genetic. In other words, if you can have the gene but not have disease, it's not genetic. If you can have the disease but not have the gene, it's not genetic. Okay? Now, there's another thing that helps. There's two types of genes. Recessive. That means you have to get a gene from both parents to have the disease. And if you only have one gene from one parent, then you don't have any symptoms of the disease. And another type of gene is a dominant. One gene from one parent, that's it, bought the farm, you got the disease. Now, if a gene is dominant and you have one parent who is affected, then half the kids are going to have the disease. Half the offspring. If you have a disease and it's recessive, you need to get the gene from both parents, and neither parent has symptoms, right? So each one only has one of the recessive genes, then 25% of the offspring are going to be affected. So get this, either 0% of offspring have a problem because neither parent has the gene, or only one parent has one recessive gene, which just causes no problem. So 0%, 50% if you have a dominant gene, or 25% if it's a recessive gene. That's it. If it's genetic, either 0% of offspring are affected, 50%, or 25%. In other words, if 30% of offspring are affected, it can't be genetic. If 75% of offspring are affected, it can't be genetic. In other words, there must be another factor external to the genes that's influencing whether the person has the disease. Again, this is going to become important later on. So let's take a look at Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. This is considered a rare disease. And for a rare disease, an awful lot is written about this rare disease. So let's take a look. All right. So, oh, see, I have all my favorite sources here. So, one of my favorite sources is the National Library of Medicine, And here we have the National Institutes of Health. And this is the NIH. That means the government, okay, National Institute of Health. And right across the top says U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, right? So this is government information put out by the government. So we are going to take their word for this. All right, let's take their word for this. So Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, a group of inherited connective tissue disorders. Now, there's a red flag right there, a group. So, like, dude, what happened to this, like, one gene, one disease hypothesis? We got a group here, we need a committee, what's going on? So let's find out more about this. Caused by abnormalities in the structure, production, or processing of collagen. The new, this collagen, is like, they say you have to change the structure, so you need a structure problem, a production problem, and a processing problem of collagen to get a disease. That's interesting. The new classification, that means they had a committee meeting and took a vote, right? So we have a disease that's being determined by committee meetings and votes. All right, another red flag. It includes 13 subtypes of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. They even abbreviated EDS, I'm just saying. Although other forms of the condition may exist, other forms can exist, they are rare and not well characterized. The signs and symptoms of this disease vary, that means it changes, by type and range, from mildly loose joints to life-threatening complications. Now, mildly loose joints is like seriously trivial. I say get a job as a contortionist and just call it a life. So they're saying you can either be a contortionist or worse, all right? Features shared by many types include joint hypermobility and soft, velvety skin that is highly elastic, stretchy, and bruises easily. Those of you out there, bad connective tissue, it might be a vitamin C deficiency. I mean, just saying. Mutations in a variety of genes, that means more than one, here's the clincher, may lead to Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. That means, then again, it may not. Whoa, wait a minute, back up. How can this be genetic if the genes might or might not lead to disease? The genes are there, but we cannot say they cause anything if they might, and then again, might not lead to disease. So if the gene might lead to disease, we can say, well, the gene caused the disease. Well, but wait, what if it might not? What if the gene does not cause the disease? Well, that means that this gene can be modified by the person's lifestyle or environmental factors. So this gene is not sufficient, is not enough to cause disease. In other words, the disease is really being caused by the modifying lifestyle factors that influence the expression of this gene. Okay, so we got all that from this one little itty-bitty word, may. Okay. Mutations in a variety of genes may lead to Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. However, the underlying genetic cause in some families is unknown. Whoa. The underlying genetic cause is unknown. How about it's not there? This is science. This ain't mysticism. So if you have looked, and the whole genome has been sequenced, I understand. And so you've got this person's, you got the parent's genome, you know what it is. It's been sequenced, and you can't find the gene that's caused the disease in their offspring. Well then, I think it's reasonable to say it's not there. It's reasonable to say this kid might be sick, but it's not genetic. Okay, but let's go further. So, depending on the subtype, it may be inherited in an autosomal dominant or autosomal recessive manner. Whoa. You mean like it can be dominant and then recessive? So we can just flip back and forth from 50% to 25%? In offspring. So these are some curious genes. This totally contradicts the gene theory, which is you got the gene, you get the disease. Right? There's no ifs, ands, buts, no, I think I'll cause disease today, but not tomorrow. No. Gene's a gene is a gene. Gene is fixed. All right. So, there is no specific cure for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Is there a non-specific cure? Is there a vague cure? Just be plain about this. There is no cure. All right. So we have something we cannot treat. All right. There is no treatment. That means there's not a pharmaceutical company that's made a drug with a patent that it can profit from that can fix this problem. All right. We got that. The treatment and management is focused on preventing serious complications and relieving associated signs and symptoms. Whoop-dee-doo. Who even needs the diagnosis? I mean, I can relieve symptoms all by myself. So there's no way to modify this disease, is what they're saying. All right. So we've got a disease. We've just told the family, it's genetic. You guys got bad genes. Let's start talking about your mama and your grandmama and just further on back because y'all just got some bad stuff. Well, that's hardly a scientific approach to illness, and it's also not helpful. It's just kind of like bad manners, like 10-year-old mean and cruel. So we are going to rise above that. Okay, so there's 13 types and an overlap in features, and we think it's genetic, but we can't find the genes. I kid you not. Can't make this stuff up. Now, they found a few genes, but those genes sometimes cause problems, and again, sometimes they don't. Okay, so what we get from that, if the genes sometimes cause problems and sometimes they don't, is this is a situation that is and must be modified by factors other than genes. What other factors in your life are there besides genes? Believe it or not, there's not a whole lot. There's the water you drink, air you breathe, food you eat, and stuff you do during your day. That's pretty much the size of it. In other words, what we're saying is this disease is obviously caused by lifestyle factors. Why? Two people, same genes, one's sick, one's not. What's the difference between two people? Like I said, the stuff they do with their day, the stuff they put in their body, the stuff they take out of their body. It's just that complex. Now, being human beings, there's a lot of stuff you might be putting in your body, and there's a lot of stuff you might be taking out or might not be taking out. So, this we get all this from the NIH site. We do have to put a little bit of mental elbow grease into it, but we get there. Okay, now I like this one. People who are double jointed are more likely to be anxious. An underlying collagen abnormality, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, may heighten both flexibility and fight or flight response. Interessante. So what they're trying to tell you then is, well, maybe it's bad to be flexible. So this is a soft site. It's called Scientific American. Okay. Joint flexibility is an oft-coveted trait that provides a special advantage to dancers and athletes. I'm not a dancer or an athlete, but I have mastered my splits, and I'm very proud of my flexibility. I would not call it hypermobility. I've worked very hard at it, just saying. So joint hypermobility, which affects 20% of population, confers an unusually large range of motion. So a brain imaging study conducted by Eccles and her colleagues found individuals with joint hypermobility had a bigger amygdala, a part of the brain that's essential to processing emotion, especially fear. In the study, which was conducted by Eccles and her associates in collaboration with researchers from other countries. Okay, so hypermobile participants display heightened neural reactivity to sad and angry scenes in brain regions. We're going to a commercial and we'll be back to talk more about this.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. Cause I don't want to stay here on my own.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so this Ethers Daniels thing is seeming a little complicated, but I said, you know what? There are other models we can look at to help us understand what's going on here. So when you do a test, a DNA test, for example, what you're doing is attempting to get more information to help predict the future for this individual, let's call them a patient. And so this additional information helps you to determine if the future is bright or if it's filled with risk and peril and danger and requires intervention. And so I took a look at other models that we could refer to that could give us some guidance in this area. So let me see where those models are. Well, if it's not here, then maybe it's there, as they say. All right. Yes, okay. So I went and looked up, and you guys can Google this too. It's fortune-telling techniques from history. Yes, fortune-telling techniques from history. So really what the doctor's engaged in, it's fortune-telling. That's all this is. This is fortune-telling. So let's see if we can take a look at a few types of fortune-telling and get some kind of connection here. And the reason for this is to help people put these medical predictions in perspective. Okay. One is amniomancy. That means to look at the, when the baby is born, it sometimes has a membrane covering the head. This is rare. Only in 1 out of 80,000 babies is born this way. However, fortune tellers claim it would reveal a lot about the child's future. If the covering was red, it meant the baby would live a happy life. If it was blue, the child's going to have something horrible happen to them in the future. So we now know, obviously, if it's red, that means the baby has an excellent oxygen supply. If it's blue, the baby's probably got some kind of heart problem, definitely a circulation compromise. And so in Poland, there's a legend that a child born with this covering over its head would grow up to be a vampire. And the only way to prevent this destiny would be to dry out the covering, save it until a child's 7th birthday, and force feed it to them. So some parents would grind it up into a powder and hide it inside the cake, while others probably made their kids eat their own 7-year-old amniotic membrane like it was beef jerky. It also became a popular superstition in the Victorian era. Another one I like is pyromancy, and this is a good one because actually it's still being practiced today, I believe. So in ancient Greece, followers of a particular god believed they could communicate with this god through fire, similar to a crystal ball. Are we getting close here? So some people would stare into the flames and claim they could see the future. And so pyromancy is fortune-telling with the flame, but many seers did more than just stare. The shape of the fire is also considered a sign from the spirits of future good or bad news. Now, this can be compared to either a CAT scan or a PET scan. Now, the thing with all these fortune-telling things, and just like 8 more methods, is they all take something that the individual who seeks information about his future has no control over. Okay, so you have no control over the fire, no control over a membrane over your kid's head, no control over the crystal ball. So you pick something the individual has no control over. And then the fortune teller, dum-dum, or licensed doctor, whatever, same thing. The fortune teller will then say, this thing that you have no control over is telling me information, is communicating with me. And now I can see your future. And so this is really what's going on with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So scientifically, they have established that the syndrome and the genes are not related. Not related at all. Yet, the doctors are doing these genetic tests if they suspect Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. They also are doing skin biopsies to look at the skin. And we're going to be going to commercial here. No, please don't go. I don't want to stay here on my own. Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning, burning? Oh, doctor.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right. Welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so what we were talking about before is what's going on here is just fortune-telling. So this doctor is giving a test, skin biopsy, genetic tests, blood tests, that has absolutely no cause and effect relationship to the person's condition. And so there's not any predictive value to this test. We'll call it a random number generator. And this is identical to the fortune-telling methods used throughout history. Whether you're reading the fire, whether you're reading tea leaves, whether you're reading entrails, all of these things, you pick something that is totally beyond the control of the individual and then fill it with meaning that may or may not have anything to do with that individual. So that's what is going on. And so these genes are modified by the person's lifestyle and what they do. What we're now understanding is all of these genetic defects, pretty much all of them, are modified by what happens after the person is born. And by focusing on those events, you can actually have the gene but not have the disease. For example, in Down syndrome, there are many levels of intellectual impairment, from no intellectual impairment, in other words, normal kid, normal human, all the way to seriously retarded. And how, what happens? How does one move from one category to the other? It's not genetic. They've all got the same genetic problem, which is trisomy 21. And this is the same across the genetic disease spectrum, with few exceptions. There are very few exceptions. But the field of epigenetics is huge, huge, huge. And in a word, all epigenetics says is genes are not destiny. In other words, you can modify your genes. Similarly, in Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, we know you can modify your genes. Why? Because their own data shows that you can have the gene, and some have the disease, and some don't. So, and get this, some have the disease and don't even have the gene. They can't find the gene. This is 2018. If you can't find a gene, guess what? It's not there. Ain't got it. So, in this particular case, there is compelling, overwhelming evidence provided by the medical industrial complex itself. I mean, went to the government websites, got their information. Not my information. Oh, no. Me, produce data? Heck no. So, what's going on here then is you have people who, because of their faith and belief in this system of sorcery and fortune-telling, are really being victimized and put in a position of being passive when they personally hold the key to solving their illness or condition. All right. So if we're going to say that mom and dad tend to have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or some variation of it when the kid has it, then what's really going on here? What do mom, dad, and kid have in common? Well, they generally eat from the same pot. So I'll give you an excellent example, which is diabetes, type 2 diabetes. So my family, I have two grandparents, so two out of four grandparents have diabetes. One out of two parents have diabetes. Two out of six offspring have diabetes. That doesn't follow any genetic pattern. So in other words, if it was recessive, then you would expect that my mother, who has no diabetes, would have got maybe one gene from her father, so she would be heterozygous. Then my father, who is diabetic, would have gotten one diabetic gene from each of his parents. All right, so we're good. But wait, then mom would have given a gene to half of her offspring. Dad, having both two bad genes, would have given it to all of his offsprings. So half of all the kids in my family should be diabetic. And furthermore, my father's diabetes started when he was 40. So you would expect half would have diabetes and it would be an onset more or less around age 40. But out of six children, two diabetics, one got diabetes at age 40, the other got diabetes at age 60. So this is totally not following any genetic pattern at all. So we don't have 50% frequency of diabetes in the family, and the behavior of the diabetes appears to be very different in the two that have it. So what was the similarity? Diet. These are the two offspring that have a diet most similar to the diet my father followed, which is lots of heavy cream, lots of meats, and lots of processed foods. And the rest of us who don't eat as much cream and drink a lot more water and don't eat processed foods, why, we don't have diabetes. So my guess My guess is that Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is simply more of the same. So let's take a look. Now, why is this? First of all, it's not rare. If you're going to say anyone who has double jointed has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and anyone who can do a split has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, then pretty much 20% of people have it. It's pretty widespread. However, this is considered a rare disease. Now, why is it considered rare? It's considered rare because very few people have the severity of the disease, read nutritional deficiency, intense enough to cause symptoms that interfere with their lifestyle. Okay. Yeah. So let's take a look at what might be causing this Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And the website, while it hasn't seemed to give any cures for the sufferers, when I take a look at it, I see some pretty obvious clues. All right. Okay, so we're talking about these flexible people having anxiety. And so this is Scientific American. And so they say these patients might benefit in particular from beta blockers, drugs that ease anxiety by reducing symptoms of the body's fight or flight response. And this researcher hopes that future studies will investigate these targeted treatments for double-jointed people. In the meantime, the findings are an important reminder for clinicians to consider the possibility that a patient's mental disorder could have purely physical origins. Okay, so this is like going from one thing to another unrelated thing, another unrelated thing. So people who are flexible and enjoying their flexibility now need beta blockers and psychiatric assistance. I will tell you that people who are hyper-flexible, what happens is they move their joints more and toxins don't get stored in their joints. And these toxins can circulate. And if they're not having regular bowel movements with like vitality capsules or cleansing regularly, then yes, they can become more anxious. And that's pretty much the long and the short of it. So we don't need to like make this whole big deal out of it. But apparently they do. All right. So Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is a group of disorders that affects connective tissue, supporting the skin, bones, blood vessels, and many other organs and tissues. Great. So I know, and you can talk to the paleo people, they can tell you, that adding collagen to your diet pretty much takes care of skin, bone, blood vessels, and many other organs and tissue defects, or at least improves them. So one thing you can add is, of course, you can add gelatin to your diet, of course. Me, not being a halfway person, I say go to the next level, which is eat animal skin, eat animal blood vessels, and eat animal organ meats, and that will clear up your Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Very simple, easy beans, no problem, straight up easy. You don't have to worry if you have type 1, type 2, and so on. I'm telling you, I quote this. The various forms of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome have been classified in several different ways. Originally, 11 forms of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome were named using Roman numerals to indicate the types. In 1997, researchers proposed a simpler classification that reduced the number of types to 6 and gave them descriptive names based on their major features. The classification was updated to include rare forms of Ehlers-Danlos that were discovered more recently, and now we have 13 types of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So you're getting the picture here. We have 11 types that were condensed into 6, now expanded to 13. So really we're looking at 24 types of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And this is actually very characteristic of a dietary deficiency. And a dietary deficiency, a deficiency of a particular nutrient in the diet, is going to give you a situation of illness or disability in maybe 30 different ways. One excellent example is dehydration. dehydration has tons and tons of manifestations. So one substantial nutritional deficiency can and will cause tens of different diseases. So dehydration, for example, will give you a stroke, a heart attack, diabetes, arthritis, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolus. It's a very long list. And there are subcategories inside of each of those categories. So if you have a deficiency of a major component of your diet, you're going to have 10, 20, 30, even 50 different diseases that it's going to cause. So this whole pattern of behavior of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is just like a nutritional deficiency. For example, a vitamin C deficiency causes many, many different problems. Okay. So many people with this syndrome have soft, velvety skin that's highly stretchy. Affected individuals tend to bruise easily and also abnormal scarring. So what is scarring? Scarring is a mechanism for repair of the skin. So if you have malnutrition in the area of the skin and connective tissue, then when your injuries heal, they're not going to heal properly. And so you're going to have abnormal scarring. So this is actually adding up and becoming like crystal clear. The type of skin disorder is characterized by loose skin that sags and wrinkles. An extra or redundant fold of skin may be present. So far, this is cosmetic, but it's still very troublesome to have skin hanging off your body. So some forms of this syndrome, notably the vascular type, can cause unpredictable tearing of blood vessels, leading to internal bleeding. Exactly. So you have a malnutrition going on here. The body cannot make or create enough connective tissue for blood vessels, and it's got to skimp. So it's also associated with an increased risk of organ rupture. Again, it's the connective tissue insinuating throughout every single cell in that organ that holds that organ together, including tearing of the intestine and rupture of uterus during pregnancy. Well, there we go. So we now see, whoa, this is a serious problem. We need connective tissue in our diet. And, of course, other types of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome have additional signs and symptoms. You have the heart valve type, which causes severe problems with the valves that control the movement of blood throughout the heart. And people with kyphoscoliotic type, that means the back is bent forward like this, experience severe curvature of the spine. So kyphoscoliotic means curvature of the spine. And then they say curvature of the spine causes curvature of the spine. Okay. All right, got that. It worsens over time and can interfere with breathing by restricting lung expansion. Again, this person has not got enough connective tissue to maintain an erect spine. And then there's brittle cornea syndrome, characterized by thinness of the clear covering of the cornea, and ones that cause short stature and skeletal problems. But again, all of this is simply a deficiency of connective tissue. They even have the periodontal type, which causes abnormalities of teeth and gums. And so what they've done then is you have one problem, which is not enough collagen, cartilage, and connective tissue, and they've classified it according to which part of the body the immune system has decided to shortchange in order to maximize that person's survival. Okay, so we've got the answers really right here. So where's that collagen? Where'd it go? Where can you go to get it back? Well, of course, the National Library of Medicine article gave you the answer. You can eat the skin, the connective tissue, blood vessels, and organs of animals. And that will actually cure the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Very simple solution. And when you consider that the price of organ meats is much cheaper than the price of flesh meats, you can see, not an expensive cure. So how much to eat and how often? I usually recommend anywhere from 2 to 8 ounces a day, but you have to break it up with cooked vegetables, raw vegetables, and I believe in carbs. I believe in carbs. And so through experimentation over the years, I have determined the minimum dose of carbs to preserve health is 2 tablespoons a day. So I've actually experimented on myself and cut my carbs down, 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 down. And when I got below 2 tablespoons a day, everything fell apart. So that would be the cure to Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Now, which organs should you eat? If you have the straight-up connective tissue problem, you want to eat pork skin. Well, Dr. Daniels, why don't you recommend beef skin? I don't recommend beef skin because it's generally not commercially available because it's being sold to designers to make $4,000 handbags or to make the belt you're wearing or the shoes you're walking in. In the modern Western industrialized culture, we have taken the animal skin and we are wearing it instead of eating it. And hence we have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and a lot of other problems and issues. Now, the vegans among us would try to atone for this by increasing the vitamin C, increasing bioflavonoids, increasing the intake of gelatinous cellulose. None of it works. None of it works. So I say if you are vegan / vegetarian, if you're not having any connective tissue problems, then keep being vegan and vegetarian. Not a problem. I was vegan for 26 years. I think it's great. I really enjoyed it. I love eating vegetables. So if you don't have a problem, then, you know, keep doing what you're doing. But if you do have a connective tissue problem, you know, if your skin is sagging, if you're having wrinkles, like you say, can't even pull up skin here, so tight, and I'm 61, then try some animal skin, eating connective tissue. The connective tissue can be found in the joints. When I say eating connective tissue, I mean eating connective tissue. I don't mean bone broth. Oh, yeah, drink the broth. But get right in there and eat the solid parts as well. Do not throw those away. And you'll see a huge increase in the strength of your connective tissues. When I was vegan, I literally didn't want to jump because I could feel my internal organs were adversely affected. And that's simply because, especially later into my being vegan, I was depleting my connective tissue and my organs were literally in a state of being fragile because my body was rationing the connective tissue. But now that I eat connective tissue, I can jump up and down, I can run, I can do whatever I want, and I don't feel any kind of internal delicacy. So that is the Ehlers-Danlos story. And I think the Ehlers-Danlos story, the important thing to appreciate and understand is this is the story of pretty much each and every genetic defect where the kid or the human being is able to live beyond 6 months of age with that genetic defect. The question then is, okay, we know this genetic defect is commensurate with life. Question is, what needs to be done, diet, lifestyle-wise, or environment-wise, to help that gene become part of a healthy life? And for different genetic defects, it's different, but in general, the biggest deficiency I see is cleansing. That you've got to literally get the crap and trash out of the way so that the body can support the positive expression of the gene. And this is why dum-da-dum, word from our sponsor. I created Vitality Capsules, and Vitality Capsules happen to be on sale at the moment. This is the two bottles for the price of one. So the price of one bottle, you get two bottles. And this sale will continue until 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. That would be Tuesday, October 2nd. Yes. So, yes, Maribel. Maribel says, will the Vitality Capsules help cleanse or detoxify me since I was diagnosed with the homozygous MUFR677T gene mutation, which supposedly means I don't methylate properly and detoxify little? Exactly. Yes, it will help quite a bit. So the Vitality Capsules would help a lot with the detoxifying, but even with this fatty liver that you have, part of the fatty liver, what the fatty liver is your liver's ability to compensate. And so with the increased cleansing caused by Vitality Capsules, they clean out your bile ducts, and that helps expel the fat from your liver. They also clean out the small intestine and the large intestine, so the toxins have a clear route from your liver all the way to the toilet. Now, another added benefit of Vitality Capsules is they increase your circulation through the garlic and the ginger that are in the Vitality Capsules. This helps your blood circulate more effectively throughout your body and bring more toxins to your liver that can then go through the bile ducts, small intestine, colon, into the toilet. So Olga says, there's no organic or grass-fed pork. Isn't that bad to eat meat that is full of antibiotics? If you have a life-threatening deficiency of connective tissue, eat the pork. Take the Vitality Capsules. Drink extra water and poop. You will find you'll be a lot better off. So you're much better off having a few antibiotics floating around than to have a ruptured aortic aneurysm, or a dried out cornea in your eye, or holes in your skin. Lutanya. Oh, gosh. What can I do to avoid my kids getting kept out of school because they're not vaccinated? The schooling is as harmful as the vaccines. I would say skip both. And now, with all the information on the internet, your kid can become an expert moneymaker by skipping school.
I saw you there, just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. Then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. We can feel the motion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.